thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Tonight, that's exactly what I'm speaking on, the Father's love. And we're going to read two verses from 1 John chapter 4. And then we're going to go to a story that we're so familiar with. And sometimes with stories that we are familiar with, we switch off. So can I ask you, pay attention, stay with me, because I strongly believe God has something for each and every one of us gathered here tonight. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verse 9 and 10 together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, "In this the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You know, tonight, I believe God wants you to know just how deeply you're loved by him. You know, last week at Wondrous, one of the songs that was played down at Whitewell at the Elam Bible Week was Jireh. And the opening line of that song begins, "I will never be more loved than I am right now." And that has been on my heart over this last number of days as I've been preparing. You will never be more loved by God than you are right now in this moment. Nothing past, present, or future will ever change the love of your Heavenly Father for you tonight. And you know, the problem we have is that for us, love is a feeling that can come and go, depend on what things are said, depend on how we're feeling, depend on whether he shows up with flowers or not. But with God, love is not like that. Love is a choice. It's not just a feeling. Love is a choice. And God, he says to each and every one of us, "I love you. And I love you as much as I ever will or ever can love you." And sometimes for us, we struggle with that. We struggle with what it means to be truly loved unconditionally. Loved with this love that doesn't make sense because of the things people have spoken over us, the things people have said to us. Some of us throughout our lifetime will have heard things like, "No one will ever love you. You're useless. You can't do anything right." Sometimes we struggle with the idea of being loved because we know what we're like. We know the things that we've done. We know the mistakes that we've made. We know how we've spoken to others. And we worry, if other people knew that about me, they wouldn't love me. And then the enemy comes along and he piles on guilt and shame, and the weight of all that just leaves us feeling like, if anybody really knew me, they wouldn't like me, never mind love me. And we struggle with that, and we carry the weight and the pain of that into other relationships, into other spheres of our life. And it can leave us feeling like we're always wearing that mask, always wearing, putting on that front and putting on that fake smile. But actually we're struggling because we don't maybe appreciate how loved we are. And God, he comes tonight and he's saying to you, "You're loved by me. And it's a love that will never increase, never decrease. It is a perfect love that's unconditional. It's sacrificial." And that's what we read of in 1 John 4, that God so loved this world, so loved you, that he gave his son to die on a cross for you. That is a love that compares to nothing else that we are ever offered. And you know, tonight, God wants you to know he loves you so much that he would do it again and again if he had to. Because you're important to him, you're of value to him. And that's what we're going to look at. I want you to get, by the time you leave tonight, that you are loved, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you will do. Because he is the one who created you, and he has chosen to love you from the moment he thought of you until the end of eternity. And 1 John 4, it tells us, you know, that God loved us so much that he gave his son to die in our place, to die for our sins, to pay the debt that was owed, because God, being holy and just, can have no part of sin. All of those things that are in disobedience to God, yet even though we do those things, God still chooses to love us, still wants relationship with us. And so in order that we can come to God, he sent his son to earth to die for us. And as I think about this, a sacrificial love, this love that is unlike anything else we experience in this life, I want us to look, like I said, at another story. And it's the story of the prodigal son. It's the story we find in Luke chapter 15. And I want to share three things from this story. But like all stories that we've been to over and over, they will probably not be totally groundbreaking. They're not going to be like, oh, I've never seen that before. But I hope tonight, in what we're drawing out of this story, it will impact your heart in a way that has never done before. Because God's word, it's that two-edged sword. It doesn't matter how many times we come back to it. It always strikes us if we're willing to open our hearts. So the story of the prodigal son, in Luke 15, we see this unconditional love story told by Jesus. And it's a story that goes something like this. There was the man, and he had two sons. And one day the youngest son comes to him and he says, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. Would you give me my inheritance? Because I want to go and do life my way. So the father, he divided his property up and gave what was the share to the son, this younger son. And within a few days, the young son left. He went out and he lived and partied and did things as he wanted, and soon the money ran out and the so-called friends disappeared, and he found himself alone, penniless, and in a distant land, hungry. And he eventually got a job working with some pigs, and it was a job that was for the low of the low. It was something he would never have chosen, but it's where he found himself. And in feeding the pigs, he was so hungry that he longed for the food that the pigs were eating. And we're told that one day it dawned on him that his father had servants who lived a better life than he did right now. And if he could go back to his dad, he could apologize. He could at least have a place to stay and some food for his belly. And he gets up and he goes off. And what we read is that the father seen him coming. And while he was still on his way, the father comes running out to meet him. Gives him a big hug, gives him a kiss, greets him. And before the son can even get out these words of apology, the father's already calling to the servants. Here, quick, come on, bring him a pair of shoes, get him clean clothes, bring him the family ring, gather all these things. And then he says, now go and kill the fattened calf. Go and let's get the barbecue on. Go and let's have a party, because my son that was lost is now found. He was dead and now is alive, and they celebrate. And this story that Jesus tells, it shows us a picture of this Father's love that's unconditional. This Father's love that never changes for us. So here's the three things I want to tell you. Firstly, the Father has loved you from the very beginning. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and 12, we're told that he said, that was Jesus, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Here's this father, and he's had his two boys, and he's watched them as they've grown up. He's taught them about his farm and his business. He's taught them what is right from wrong. He's taught them how to respect their elders. He's taught them all these different things in life. He's watched them grow from boys to men. And then, as he longs to see them grow up and do well, one of them comes, this young son comes to him and says, Dad, thanks for all that, but it would be better if you were dead so that I could get my money. And what I find so incredible about this story is that the father looks at this boy who he's done everything for as he's grown up, and he doesn't even raise his eyebrow or question it. He simply puts in order all the things that are necessary to give half of his estate to this young man. I think if I showed up at my dad's house and said, Dad, you wouldn't pop your clogs so that I could sell your house and get half of it, I'd probably get a slap. Told to wise up. He'd probably ask me what it is I actually need and probably help me out because he's a decent bloke. But he wouldn't be giving me half of everything. But this father has loved his sons from the moment he knew of them. And even though this son comes asking rudely, ungratefully, his love is so much for his son that he says, okay, I'll give you your request. You see, this father has loved his son, once the most in life for him. He wants the son to do well. And as much as he would rather see him surrounded by family, as much as he would rather do life with him, if the son is going to go off on his own, the father wants him to go off with the best possible foot forward. He wants to ensure that he has the best chance of life. And it's because of that love that he puts in motion all of this to give him his inheritance. And we are loved by God just the same. From the moment we were a thought, from the moment we were conceived, from the moment we were birthed into this world and long before it, God seen each and every one of us, knew our name. He said, no matter what, even they don't love me, I love them. He created you. The Bible says he knit you together in your mother's womb. He looked at you. He said it was very good. See, throughout history, God has loved each and every person that has ever been created. Despite our actions, despite our choices, despite whether or not we have loved him in return. That's what Romans 5 and 8 tells us. But God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God doesn't love us because we're good children. God doesn't love us because we follow the rules. He doesn't love us because we're very talented or very successful. He loves us simply because he chooses to love us. And he loves you tonight simply because he has chosen to love you. And no matter what you have done in your past, God knows it. And he still chooses to love you. See, God the Father has loved us from the beginning. He has loved you from the beginning. But it's not just from the beginning. God loves us in this moment, right now. You see, God loves us in the present, not just from the beginning. Verse 20 of Luke chapter 15 says that the Son arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See, I love this. Here's the son, and he's sitting amongst the pigs and he's thinking, this is terrible. I could go back home and maybe my dad would just have enough of an ounce of compassion in him that I could be a servant in his house and at least things would be better. And he picks himself up and he says, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a no. I know what I've done. I know what I said to him when I left. But I'll try. Remember, this son left saying, I wish you were dead. Yet before he can get to the house, his father sees him. I find that so incredible that this father is watching, is waiting, has his eyes fixed on the hills, waiting that one day, maybe, just maybe, the son would come home. And if his father had stopped loving him, he wouldn't do that. If his father had given up on him, he wouldn't have done that. But the father loves him. And even though the son is far away, even though the son's doing things that the father hadn't wanted for him, even though the son came and said, I wish you were dead, this father, his heart is after his son. And so he keeps watching, keeps longing for his return. I live about an hour's drive from my mum and dad's house. And even on days when they know I'm coming, there's been a few occasions where I've driven up the street, parked in the drive, opened the door, shouted to say that I'm there, and walked down the hall into the kitchen and scared them because they didn't realise I was there. And I'm like, you were expecting me. But this father, this isn't the plan. He doesn't know he's coming. Doesn't know what's going to happen yet. He sees him. Before the son even sees the father's already got his eyes on him. Because he loves him. He has never stopped loving him. And you know what? Tonight, God sees each and every one of you. He sees me. He says, I love you. He says, yeah, I know we've talked about maybe the things that have happened in the past, but see, even right this moment, I love you as much now as I've ever done. Because his eyes are fixed on us. He's looking for us, and maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You've never walked with Jesus, you don't know what it is to be loved by the Father. Maybe you've made the mistakes like the young son. You've said, I've no time for you. I don't want to do things your way. Maybe, you know what, I just want the best. I just want to do things my way. So give me all that I can get and stuff it with your way of doing things. I'm out of here. Maybe you once were a Christian, but for whatever reason, you've walked away. God loves you just the same as he always done. And right now, tonight, in this room, God's saying to you, I love you. Nothing has ever changed that love for you. The Father, he sees his son, and he is so delighted. He is so overjoyed by the fact that here his son has started to return home, that he runs to him. And remember, running as a Jewish man, that's not a dignified thing. You know, some of us run well, some of us don't. Arms flailing and all the rest of it. This father, he didn't care. Didn't care what it looked like. You know, the big long sort of cloak that they wore, hiking it up above your knees. Like, we don't get our knees out too often. You know, shorts below the knees is the way to go, isn't it? But he gets his knees out and he runs through the middle of town. Can you imagine anybody in this room running through the middle of Ballymoney just because your son's come home? That's what this guy did. Because he didn't care. His love for his son was paramount. It meant more than anything else. And not only that, does he get there and he hug him. He says, look, this guy needs shoes, he needs clothes, there's things that he needs, and I'm going to meet those needs. And bring the ring. The ring was a symbol of authority, of membership in the family. I don't know whether the son, when he left, threw it at his dad and says, I don't want this. But in this moment, the son comes back and the father, he's not interested in the fact that he's messed up. He just loves him so much. And he wants to pour out his love upon him, and he brings the family ring and he gives it to him. He says, you're mine. You belong to me. You're part of my family. And I love you, and tonight God wants you to know that he loves you. From the moment you were born, despite all the things that you've maybe done wrong and messed up on, he loves you. And he simply is waiting for you to come home. See, this son came to the Father. He had done wrong, he knew it. And he came and he said, I'm sorry. And his father says, I love you. Never stopped loving you. Puts his arm around him. He says, welcome home. And our Heavenly Father tonight says to each and every person in this room, I love you. Even though you have sinned, even though we have messed up. He says, all you have to do is come home. All you have to do is come to me and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And we can know forgiveness for our sins as God puts his arm around us. Finally, the last thing we see in this love is that this love from the Father is for eternity. You see, the Father will love you for eternity. Verse 23 and 24 of Luke 15, the Father says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. And what we read here is that the Father, he's taken that which was being prepared for the celebration and sacrifice. And he says, look, there is reason to rejoice right now. There's reason to rejoice and to celebrate over this son, because not only was he lost, he's now alive. And it's this idea that the son has been brought back, has been reborn. And he looks at his son and he says, you know what? It's not just that I've forgiven him. It's not just that he's come home, but there's new life. There's a new life here with this father and son that is celebrated, because this love is not just something that was and is for a moment, but it's for this life that was ahead. And our Heavenly Father, he loved us, not just when we were born, not just tonight, but he will love us tomorrow and the next day and throughout eternity. Because he created us. Because he wants a relationship with us. And those few verses we read at the start from 1 John chapter 4, they tell us that that love was made known to us when God sent his only son into the world, when he sent Jesus to die on the cross that we could have life, says, so that we might live through him. See, God doesn't want just to love us for a moment. He wants to love us forever. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin, to die in order that we could know God. You see, tonight, God loves you. There's nothing you could ever do or say that would change his love for you. There's nothing you can do to increase it or decrease it. The only difference is how you receive it. Are you like the son in the beginning? I don't want anything to do with you. I'm done with your way of doing things, God. You maybe went and did things your way. You haven't had time for God. But tonight there's an opportunity to come home. Even for us that are Christians, we need reminded sometimes to come home and hold our hands up and say, you know what, I got that wrong today. And see, we can come home to the Father no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, because he loves us as much as he did the moment he thought to create us. As much as he did the moment he sent his son to die for us. He'll love you as much as he does then, as he does the moment you say, yes, Lord, I will give you my heart. And he will love you as much at the end of eternity. Because he created you. He gave everything for you. That is how truly loved you are tonight. Do you know his love? Have you accepted his love? And how do we accept his love? By believing in his son. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word tells us died on the cross to save us. We're going to close in prayer. Why don't you bow your head? You know, I don't know where each of you are on your journey in life. I don't know the things you've done. I don't know the things you've said, even the things you've thought. But I do know that there's a Heavenly Father who loves you deeply, who always has, who always will. Will you respond to his love by coming and accepting his son who died in your place, that your sins could be forgiven? And as I close, I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray for you if you would love to say yes to Jesus. So as I'm looking around, if there's somebody here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted the love of God the Father. But you know what? You want to come home tonight. You want to know what it is to be a loved son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. Why don't you raise your hand and I'll lead you in prayer. I'm not going to prolong it. I'm just looking around the room. Is there one person here tonight and you're saying, you know what? I want to know what it is to experience the love of God. One final time. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us deeply. We thank you, Lord, that you chose to love us even when we were far from you, even when we were doing our own thing, even at times, Lord, when we have rejected you, yet you chose to love us and continue to love us. And Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your precious Son who died on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your only Son so that you could have a relationship with us. Lord, we're sorry for the things we've done. We're sorry for the things that we've failed to do. Lord, we want to know what it is to walk each and every day with the Father's arm around us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally, sacrificially, and that your love will never change. Help us to walk each day knowing that we are loved now as much as we ever will be. Help us to live that out in our lives and share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.